Our pastor is gone this weekend, so I think it's been about 2.5 months ago, the elders were deciding on how to fill the pulpit when our pastor was gone, and everybody was looking around the table, the three of us, and going, okay, Isaac, I think it's your turn to do this. Dennis, how about you? Ed, how about you? And Matt said, no, I'm not going to be there. And so the three of us decided that we would do something a little bit different. So you are going to get three sermons this morning, hopefully this morning. No, you will. And we're going to talk about God. Who? God. Who? And to help with that, Isaac has provided us with a little pamphlet with the names of gods, and there is of God, and there are some on the sound booth back here and some on the table right underneath the fire extinguisher back there, and we would like to invite you to take one of those. Hopefully we whet your appetite for the various names of God in Scripture this morning. Let me pray as we get started today. Father, we're going to talk about you today. I hope your ears are burning as we do this. I hope our ears burn as we think about who God is. When we say God, who are we talking about? When we just say your name, all of the things that you are begin to come to mind. Father, we're going to share just a few names this morning that you were called. And we pray that as we think about these names, they could come and dwell in our minds. That as we think about you, as we talk about you, as we pray to you, that we would feel these things in our lives. We just pray for your leading through this service now, in your name. Amen. God is present. Yahweh Shema. What does that phrase, Yahweh Shema, mean? God is present. It means God is present. But if we don't take a little time to better understand its meaning, it's just going to be another phrase that we can say. Yahweh Shema. To help us remember this name, I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to repeat this name because I'd like you to remember it as you walk out. So we're going to do this three times. So join with me. Yahweh Shema. Okay, got it? Yahweh Shema. One more time. Yahweh Shema. Repetition is a great tool to help us remember. But let's not allow this just to be another memorized phrase. To the Jewish people, God's name was so sacred, they would not pronounce it. Instead, when reading Scripture, when they saw Yod, He, Vav, He, they would substitute another name, Adonai, Elohim. They would not say Yahweh, if that's how it was pronounced. Now, the unfortunate thing about them never pronouncing it, we don't know how it's pronounced today. We are guessing how it is pronounced. Yahweh is the primary Hebrew name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of Israel. Yahweh is the name of the God Most High, the God above all gods, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. the great I am is Yahweh. He's the one who created and sustains all that is. The God who is and was and forever will be. This is Yahweh. Yahweh Shema. That God is present. The word Shema is derived from the Hebrew word Sham, which means at that place or there. Yahweh Shema is the last name of God revealed through the Old Testament prophets. In Ezekiel 48:35, we read, "The distance around the city will be 18,000 cubits. The name of the city from that time on will be The Lord is There." Yahweh Shema. God is present. This is talking about the New Jerusalem in the millennial reign. This is the only time that Yahweh Shema is actually used in that term. It is a reminder to Israel during a very difficult time in their history, only the 70-year captivity in Babylon, that God had not abandoned them. He had not forgotten them. Instead, God was letting them know He would restore the city of God, Jerusalem, and the temple, both of which had been destroyed. God was reminding them of His presence. He was telling them He is Yahweh Shema. Though the name Yahweh Shema was and is not previously mentioned, the concept was very familiar to Israel. Yahweh Shema had deep meaning to them. When the tabernacle was completed, we read, "Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord, Yahweh, filled the tabernacle." Exodus 40:34. Yahweh Shema, the Lord, was at that place. God was present, and they recognized that. Just a couple verses later, we read, "In the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord, Yahweh, was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites." During all their travels, Yahweh was in sight. Yahweh was present. The concept of Yahweh Shema. Please don't get tired of me saying that this morning. I'm going to say it a bunch of times because I think it's important that we walk away with that. At the dedication of the temple Solomon built, we read, "When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the Lord filled it." Again, Yahweh Shema. God was at that place. The presence of God in the tabernacle and the temple were facts all Jews were aware of. The temple was the place of God's presence and therefore very sacred. God was present at the tabernacle and the temple. Israel's King David writes about the presence of God in songs that were sang by the Jewish people and words that were quoted as reminders. I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning. Join with me as we read these scriptures. You're going to see some highlighted pieces there. When we get to those highlighted pieces, I'd like to ask you to read those with me. In Psalm 23, we read, "Even though I walk through the valley, through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for Yahweh Shema, for you are with me." In Psalm 139, we read, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the highest heavens, Yahweh Shema, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, Yahweh Shema, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, Yahweh Shema, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." The presence of God was intuitive. It was common thought. It was a sincerely held belief. God was present. Matthew reminds us of the words of the prophet Isaiah when telling about the birth of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, he says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us, Yahweh Shema. The Jews anticipated this day, but most of them missed it because Jesus wasn't what they thought he would be. Jesus was the presence of God. He was Yahweh Shema. Today, as we wander through this world, often feeling lost and maybe even wondering if God is at all present, we can remember what God told Israel during the period when they felt abandoned. We can remember David's words, "Wherever we are, there is no place, there is no place we can go that God is not present." Think about that. There is no place we can go that God is not Yahweh Shema. We need to remember the promise Jesus gave his followers when preparing them for his leaving. In John chapter 14, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." He promised his followers that he would give them a presence to be with them and remind them what he had taught them. He wanted them and he wanted us to know that the advocate would be Yahweh Shema in the followers of Jesus. Paul reminds the believers at Corinth of the presence of God when he asks them this question: "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and the Holy Spirit lives in you?" Think about this. Yahweh Shema in us today. God is present in each person here. each person watching on live stream who knows and trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. In this age of tattoos, if there's a tattoo worth getting as a believer, Yahweh Shema, God is present. Or maybe Yahweh Shema, God is present. Paul expresses the presence of God in his life this way in the book of Romans chapter 8. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. Now, we probably won't see God appear in a cloud by day. There's too many of them here in Oregon. Or fire by night. Nor will we see fire come from heaven and consume offerings and sacrifices given to God. But it doesn't take away from the fact that God is Yahweh Shema. Those Psalms of David are still true. We cannot hide or remove ourselves from the presence of the great and mighty God because his presence is in us through the Holy Spirit. What an excellent name. Yahweh Shema. Say it with me one time here. Yahweh Shema. God is here. God is there. God is in you. God is in me. God is present. Yahweh Shema.
Thank you, Ed. He set the bar pretty high. When we talked the elders about the message, we all agreed that every one of us will take one of God's names and speak to it. I didn't cheat, but I'm going to talk about two of them, not one. So he wasn't kidding when he started counting the messages or the sermons you'll get today. There's a lot more good stuff to come. Today I would like to share with you about two of God's names. The first one is I Am. The next one is Yahweh Jireh, or in English, Jehovah Jireh. I've done a study about God's names in the past, and it was such a blessing to get to know the different names of God and the different characters of God and the nature of God and how each of those are different to learn about. For example, God is love. He can't change to be not love. Ironically, to get to know someone, I started thinking and writing down how I am going to present the message to you. And I started thinking, when you want to get to know someone, at least you start with the name. What is your name? To get to know someone, you have to really know their name. And names are interesting, varies from culture to culture, nationalities. I work with a lot of guys from Ireland, Nigeria, the South America, and the names are all over, from India. So I always start, when we start meetings, we have to do the introduction and try to, as much as we can, pronounce the names correctly. Hopefully we'll get it correctly. So this morning, like I said, I'll be talking about two names of God, which is somewhat connected, that hopefully will shed some light on their meaning. In Jewish tradition, a name is much more than just a name. We see it today. They believe that the name transforms the person's identity, which is why so many names in the Old Testament describe the character of the person. we learn about God and his different characteristics and the nature through the Old Testament. And then once we hit the New Testament, we get to know him even more through the life of Jesus. So we'll start by the name of I Am. I Am appears in the Exodus 3:15 when God revealed himself to Moses. Can you guys hear me okay? Did Ed put you to sleep? You're in for a treat. This is the personal name of God. And as Ed mentioned, I Am, or Yahweh, was the very name of God, to the point that the Israelites revered the name so much that they can't utter his name. You'll see throughout the Bible later, they substituted even the name to the capital letters, Lord. That's always been a reference to Yahweh, his name, because they couldn't even write his name in the scriptures throughout. And God said to Moses, we're going to read it together. And God said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, the Lord God, and this has happened after God showed up to Moses in the burning bush. Moses wanted to investigate, and he had a conversation with God, and he asked him. Moses was an Egyptian. He knew about the gods. He knew that every god in the Egyptians has a name, and each one of them has a meaning, has its own powers and own characteristics. So he was very focused. Which god are you? Which one? And what is your name? And God said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, this is God's response, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generation. And again, earlier in this message, one more thing, interesting nugget to note, which is astounding about God's word when you reach or approach the Bible with the attitude that you really want to learn and study something. And here, clearly says, earlier in this passage, it says that, in this passage, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses. When you see the angel of the Lord, this is God himself, which is clearly in the verse it says that about him. God took Moses to the slopes, part of the story, to the slopes of Mount Horeb, or Horeb. This is the name of which we're going to discuss later, Yahweh, Jireh, which is very, very connected to that. So God took Moses. He was tending the sheep, and he took him to that specific spot to the other side of Mount Horeb, or to the other slope, where he saw the burning bush. And God began amazing work in Moses' life, and he transformed the Israelites' life through that. Note that Moses took off his sandals. This is also part of the story if you're not familiar with it. When God appeared to Moses, Moses approached the burning bush. Moses took off his sandals. And that was another part of the culture back then. It's part of it's a sign of respect to the individual that he's talking to. But even more, Moses, the Bible says that Moses covered his face out of reverence and resemblance that he is not worthy to be there. And it's astounding how many times God appears to us, to me, and my responses were not the same to Yahweh, that they couldn't even utter his name. Growing up, we had a lot of reverence to the Bible, to the physical book. So we can't set the book on the floor when we're talking or praying, for example. We had a missionary over from a different country, and we were kneeling down to pray, and he set the Bible down on the ground. We were looking at each other at the youth group at that point. We were all shocked. Is he really doing that? And what does that mean? But there are lots of ways that we can show our reverence to Yahweh. Sometimes we have to stop and really think about that. At work, and many, many times I hear people using the name of the Lord in vain, and I stopped and I thought about Yahweh, the name that they couldn't even write his name down. Am I on the same level as those guys? Later down in the story, God God asked Moses to go tell the Israelites, tell them about what he just experienced. And this is also another note I chucked down, that how amazing it is God is real. And all he does, he reveals that to every one of us. And when he does that, he doesn't want us to hide that to ourselves. He doesn't want me to come up with make my own stuff after that. All he said to Moses, just go and tell him about what you just seen. It's also a real life illustration of God wanting to remove us from the slavery of sin. Israel's story is our story, being in slavery. And we are ready for deliverance, if we are. God's plan of salvation can easily be seen here. As you read these passages, please note how much God does to protect his children, who is in this case trusting him enough to follow his leading, but are very concerned at times. God is patient and full of love, even though his children are not perfect. The next name I would like to present to you is Jehovah Jireh, which is, I'm going to be going back and forth to Yahweh and to the story of Moses. Jehovah Jireh is from the same Hebrew word of Moriah, the same mount that Moses met God there. Jehovah Jireh is from, the same Hebrew word, Moriah, which is the same name of the region where God also sent Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Go to Mount Moriah and do that. Genesis 22:11-13. We read, "Do not lay a hand," this is the story of Abraham and Isaac, "do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And that is the meaning of Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. He is our provider. Is he your provider? I started thinking back about Moses and when God asked him to go to free the Israelites from Moses from Pharaoh, and he said, "Me? I have a lot of limitations." And how many times God see beyond the limitations and the powerful words that God says, "Moses, I will be with you. What else do you need? I am will be with you." And like I said, we'll be going back and forth about that story of Moses in Exodus. And how many times I realized that Moses experienced Jehovah Jireh throughout his mission to free the Israelites, and even beyond that. We read that God provided water on the same Mount Horeb. After the Exodus, as the people wandered in the desert, they suffered from thirst, and they began to grumble to Moses about having no water. The Lord commanded Moses to strike back at Horeb, same mountain, to obtain water to drink, and that's in Exodus 17. Later on, in Exodus 19-20, the Israelites camped at the base of the same Mount Horeb, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Jehovah Jireh. God spoke guidance God is our shelter. Much later, the prophet Elijah fled to the same Mount Horeb because of Jezebel's wrath. She was chasing him, where he stayed in a cave and had an extraordinary encounter with God, who spoke to him not in the wisdom, earthquake, or fire, but in the gentle whisper. Are we willing to listen when God whispers? same exact place. Where God instructed Elijah to anoint Hazael, the king over Syria, on the same exact place, Mount Horeb. Isn't it amazing what you find in God's name? How much do you know him? How much do you long to get to know him, to get closer to him? And I started pondering about all of these questions just for myself, not just to speak about it today. And God reminded me how much he started that. The Bible teaches us that God knows us by name before we get to know his name. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Exodus 33:17, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Friends, this is our God. He knows us. He knows you by name. And much like Moses, God can take us places where we don't know or don't understand why here or why now. You might be there right now, just like I am. And you will wonder and ponder, what is this, Lord? Why me? God will reveal himself to you if we ask. God will provide if we trust him. Our response should be trust and obey. He will do wonders through you. Don't tell me I'm advanced in age or it's too late for me. Moses was 80 years old when God called him into the great Exodus. Are you ready? Are you willing to obey if he calls you? Remember this, he is Yahweh. I am. And your provider.
Thank you. I'm back. Okay. They're dependent. They're defenseless. I tell you what, if you ever watch a sheep and you go, and you see, if you even enter a pen with sheep and they're not familiar with you, they spook really easy. Really easy. And it only takes one. Remember that vision? They catch out of the corner of their eye, which is a big corner, by the way. One sheep panicking. They all panic. There have been reports of farmers finding their entire flock gone, dead, because one sheep panicked and ran over a cliff. They all followed. Kind of not the brightest thing to do. And they are, so as I say, they're prone to panic, and they can be really dirty. Really dirty. With mud, with oil, with fecal material. I mean, they can be really dirty, too. Not just cute, although this guy's kind of cute, gotta say. And they're they're covered in wool. Well, the wool's cool for keeping them warm. But what about if the path leads them through a thicket of some sort? There have been sheep that have starved because they got caught in a thicket, and they can't move because of the wool. Entrapment. They're entrapped by their surroundings. What's there? And they can become overburdened with that wool because, as I said earlier, it grows continuously. Now, you might think, well, that's pretty cool. My hair grows continuously. But wait a minute. They're defenseless. They have no way of shearing that. Left unshorn, a sheep can become overburdened with the weight of their own wool. I wasn't able to get a picture of it because apparently it's copyrighted, but there are a pair of sheep in Australia. One's named Barack. I didn't name him, by the way. The other one is Chris. Apparently they were one of the 99, and their shepherd, whomever it was, didn't go out to get them. Separate instances, but both times they didn't go out to get them. And they think it's 6 to 7, maybe 8 years later. There's pictures of them on net if you want to look them up. Their name is Barack and Chris, the sheep. They find them, and they are so overburdened with the wool that they look like a boulder has developed legs. You can't even distinguish what's the face, what's the back. And they know that they were somebody's sheep at one time. They were all docked. They had their tails docked. They had tags on at one time, although they were tore off. And so they know somebody had them, but they neglected them. And Brock, when they finally got around to shearing him, he had 70 pounds of wool carrying around. 70 pounds. And Chris had even more. I believe it was almost 80 pounds. So you see, sheep need a shepherd. They absolutely need a shepherd to protect them, to keep them sheared, to make sure that they're led to water, make sure that one lamb or sheep that panics doesn't take them all out. And the shepherd needs to spend some time with those sheep because, like I say, they panic when they see something that's unfamiliar. They can. And they need a shepherd. We're like sheep, aren't we? We need a shepherd. Have you gone through life and you're overburdened by the worries of life, by your own sin? Are you carrying a matted, fecal-filled mass of wool? You need a shepherd. Are you going through life and you're thirsting for peace? Are you thirsting for somebody to care for you? I got to tell you, let me introduce you to Jehovah Ra. See, he says in Ezekiel to the nation of Israel, "You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God," declares the sovereign Lord. In the original language, "I am your shepherd. I am your shepherd." Jesus, in John chapter 10, spoke a lot about the shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." John 10:14. You see, without a shepherd, we're lost. And Jesus is the shepherd. God is the shepherd. I'm sure that the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the time, when Jesus said, "I am the shepherd," were pretty torqued, because they knew exactly what he was saying. I am Jehovah Ra. Well, David was a shepherd, and he knew the burdens of being a shepherd. He knew how to care for sheep. He knew the characteristics of sheep. And he oftentimes wrote about them in the Psalms and the experience. And perhaps the most famous of them, or at least the one I remember the most, is Psalms 23. And I'd like you to read that with me, because I think it's an acknowledgement not just that God is the shepherd, but we need that shepherd. We need that shepherd. So if you would read with me, please. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Raha. "The Lord is my shepherd. I need him, you need him. He's there." As Ed said, he's present. Jehovah Shema. He is I am. He is my provider, as Isaac has said. Consider that today as you, and through the week as you go through it. Thank you.